Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Good night. All right, so I have to tell you about this one. First off, a Florida man hid out in a closed Walgreens for like 5 hours, hid in the bathroom for 5 hours so he could sneak out and get snacks. I'm not even joking with you. It's New Smyrna Beach, Florida. A man was arrested early Monday morning because he stole snacks and drinks from the Walgreens there. Officers responded to the store because an alarm went off at 3 a.m. and the alarm company said there's a dude inside. The store's been closed since 10 p.m. though. So security footage showed the guy, identified as Christopher Morgan, entering the bathroom at 9:40 p.m. He didn't leave it until 2:42 a.m. He was in the bathroom for 5 hours, and then he went around and had himself some Tostitos, some spinach dip, Reese's, some Ghirardelli chocolate, Dr. Pepper, and he got himself a pack of Newport cigarettes. And then when officers arrived, they could see him like literally getting the smokes and having some snacks and all that. And the security alarms were going off, and they went in and they asked him if anyone else was inside the building, and he acted confused, like he couldn't be there. And he said he didn't know. I just came here to use the bathroom. That's what he said. So they arrested him on petty theft, resisting an officer without violence, battery on law enforcement officer. He has more than two prior convictions of larceny. So that's some dedication, though. I mean, and he just goes out and gets snacks, man. Just goes and gets some snacks. Let's see. So this Florida man faces two charges because he told his ex to buy him new clothes or he's going to put nudie photos of her online. Golly, he's from Miramar. Keon Ponton, 19, was arrested by Miami police for pressuring his ex-girlfriend to buy him new clothes. And he said he was going to share her private photos on social media if she did not meet his demands. So now he's facing charges of second-degree felony extortion and misdemeanor sexual cyber harassment. Also, who in the hell is sending this 19-year-old nudie photos? Yeah. Like, what is wrong with your judgment? I'm not saying you deserve it, but never do that kind of stuff. Like, what is the matter with you? So, yeah, that's not so good for that guy. A barefoot Florida man wrestled a nuisance gator, which, sidebar, that sounds like, so nuisance gator sounds like a twangy banjo-fueled rockabilly group that only plays on a pontoon in a swamp. I know, but you got to have the whole description. Otherwise, and they only play Lynyrd Skynyrd covers. It's like a Skynyrd cover band, but only with banjos on a pontoon in the swamp. Nuisance gator. Anyway, so a barefoot Florida man totally wrangled this gator at a Jacksonville fire station. He's a gator trapper named Mike Dragich, which is exactly what a gator trapper's name would sound like. And I guess he lives his life barefoot. I don't know, but a gator was causing trouble, literally, because when a power company came to check on the water meter, it was apparently in the water somehow. I don't know what was going on, but this guy, he grabbed the gator by the tail and he done wrestled him down and taped his mouth shut. This is the second time this dude's been filmed. The last time he answered the call of a neighborhood who they were being harassed by an 8-foot nuisance gator in the middle of the road. And again, barefoot, he wrestled the thing in the middle of the street. So this guy's like barefoot alligator wrestler, right? I'm just saying. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode. which is why I think that the leftist calls for unity are absolute garbage. Case in point, can we talk about the Tenacious D stuff real quick? So Tenacious D, we played this yesterday. Kyle Gass and Jack Black formed Tenacious D. They were on stage in Australia on Sunday. And Kyle Gass goes out there and he's like, yeah, you know, but what did he say? Like, he was talking about the Trump assassination and he's
don't
like,
miss next time. Yeah,
don't miss next time. Well, then the pushback came. Like, there was, I'm going to pull this up. There was an Australian lawmaker who was like, you're deported. And they legit, like, are trying to, like, now propose, they had issued a statement saying the guy was going to seek a way to have him deported. I mean, they ain't playing with us. They're serious. So then they had the Tenacious D apology, and you had Kyle Gass on Instagram come out and say, quote, the line I improvised on stage Sunday night in Sydney was highly inappropriate, dangerous, and a terrible mistake. I don't condone violence of any kind in any form against anyone. And what happened was a tragedy, and I'm incredibly sorry for my severe lack of judgment. I profoundly apologize to those I've let down and truly regret any pain I've caused, end quote. Any pain he's caused? Like, a father's dead because of that kind of hatred. Another father was almost dead because of that kind of hatred. If this was a real apology, I feel like Kyle Gass would have admitted it and then maybe would have donated to the victims' families. Don't you think so? I mean, maybe he would have at the very least mentioned it in his apology. So then Jack Black comes out and he issues a statement saying, quote, again on Instagram, I was blindsided by what was said at the show on Sunday. I would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. After much reflection, I no longer feel it is appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour, and all future creative plans are on hold. I am grateful to the fans for their support and understanding, end quote. So, I don't think that Jack Black had a problem when just a couple of weeks ago he was at a fundraiser for a guy who has repeatedly called the Republican nominee an existential threat, intimated that people who support that existential threat as a choice for president are somehow culpable in fascism, or they are Nazis, or they're something else. They have weaponized agencies to go after people. I mean, the rhetoric is backed up by actions that are carried out by these corrupt bureaucrats. He had no problem when he was at a fundraiser for this guy who was saying the same type of rhetoric just a couple of weeks ago. So forgive me if I don't take any of this seriously. I mean, forgive me if I just don't think that they're serious with their apologies, because I don't think it is. I mean, those are the rules, by the way. Is it not? Are those not the rules of the left? The rules of the left are, nope, you got to be totally destroyed now. No apologies at all whatsoever. I mean, isn't Kane, what do we say with that? Dems de rules.
Dems are the rules.
Dems de rules every time. They had, I was looking at this. This is Senator Ralph Babette, the United Australia Party senator for Victoria, who came out with the deportation proposal. I mean, the audience roared in acceptance of this. I mean, they thought it was a great thing. If Jack Black thought it was so bad, again, this rhetoric has been ongoing. Like, why now all of a sudden? Oh, because it was on stage? Does that make it different? I mean, why now all of a sudden is it bad to say the stuff that apparently has been fine to say up until this point? Why now? I mean, Kyle Gass, I get why he's rushing to apologize. What the hell does that guy do if he's not in Tenacious D? What does Kyle Gass do if he's not in Tenacious D? Jack Black at least has a career outside of Tenacious D, but is he going to get more movies made with this stuff? I will say this. In my career, I've been very careful not to classify politicians or people who are on the opposing ideological side of me as Nazis or terrorists or quote-unquote existential threats. I save those descriptions for actual Hitler butt-kissing Nazis and actual, you know, terrorists and actual existential threats like the sweet meteor of death. I reserve that language for those things. I don't diminish the atrocity of those moral failings by assigning the words to describe them to people who merely think differently than I do on policy. And I guess that's what makes me different from people like Kyle Gass. I think that's just so lame to say something like that. Oh, better not. Too bad you missed, or don't miss next time. What the hell does that mean? You absolute fat ass. What does that mean? You're on stage. People of both sides of the aisle were entertained by you, and you decide to turn on like half your audience. Not only that, but you decide to contribute to the very problem that we're dealing with. Let me remind everybody, the bullets have only been flying one way. For all the talk about both sides, I mean, how many times do we have to see Democrats try to kill Republicans? A number of them on a ball field, burning down their damn cities, burning down their businesses, beating people in the street. How many times do we got to see this? This has only been coming one way, guys. And it's only been coming one way because people on the right have restraint. And they have a little bit more sense. And I guess we care a little bit more about our fellow man. Even if you're a dumb fat ass like Kyle Gass and you decide to go out and show your whole albatross to the whole audience like that. I'm so tired of this. And then they go, oh, well, we apologize, dust off hands. Oh, I guess that's that. No, it's not. That's not it. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of that rinse and repeat formula from the left. Says something stupid, offers a disingenuous policy, dust off hands. Okay, back to business. No, I'm done with it. There's a president almost got killed. I'm tired of people thinking that, you know, we're all Nazis just because we disagree with you on taxes. The hell's wrong with you people? Grow up. It's so stupid. We live in an idiocracy, and it's infected every single aspect of life. And this is why I get why some people are worried about where the Republican Party's going with us. Look, I'm going to tell you, with all the talk about the Amber Rose stuff, and I was actually more nervous about the Teamster guy speaking than anything else. I mean, I don't know if you heard some of the stuff he was saying. It seemed a little big government to me, that Sean O'Brien guy. But I think, again, the RNC has a responsibility to be very clear to people if it is doing something that is about building coalitions or if it's something about the party base, because conservatives and Republicans aren't the same thing. Coalitions and parties aren't the same thing. And if the right wants to be able to compete, the right has to build coalitions. And that sometimes means that you're going to be sharing your tent with a bald woman who's got her kids' names tattooed on her face. And by the way, I find Amber Rose's face tattoos less douchebaggy than the goofy armband tats of some of these, like, you know, moral preening, like red pill bras on the right. I gotta be honest with you about it. But do I think that she's representative of the Republican Party? No, I don't. And I don't think that it's wrong to gatekeep for the principles of the Republican Party, because it's the Republican Party. But to build a coalition, that means the Republican Party is going to have to find alliances with people who maybe don't agree with it on every single issue. Again, the Reagan rule, my 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. And if you want to win, if you want to beat the Democrat machine, you have to do that. Now, again, I think it's on fault of the RNC for not saying we need to focus on coalition building. And to that extent, here is Amber Rose. I think that would have been appropriate to do before she came out on stage. That wasn't done. Because then people are thinking, well, this means that she's representative of the Republican Party. And I completely think that that is a justifiable concern that some people have, given that that clarification was not made by the RNC. But at the same time, again, you're going to have to coalition build, guys. You are going to have to coalition build. It is a requirement. And you're also going to have to realize, for the people who are upset with J.D. Vance, you're never going to have complete perfection. You're not going to have perfection on political candidates. You're not going to ever get a complete 100% a candidate that agrees with you. I don't even agree with my husband on 100% of the things, much less wholly agree with a politician on the issue. But look, winners win because they can adapt and they can reconfigure their strategy. That's what you got to realize. And some people insist that accepting anything less than perfection is selling out. I got to be honest with you, that take kind of ticks me off, because that argument itself is a sellout. That argument, what's worse actually about that argument, is it's a progressive style emotional blackmail straw man. And it's an argument that presupposes that adapting your strategy is the same thing as abandoning principle, when the strategy is all about making the principle more attainable. And different means isn't a sacrifice of the end. And it's not an adoption of those means. It's not a change of principle. It's not anything. I mean, you're not going to score a touchdown unless you can move the ball, however incrementally, down the field. And refusing to play until the field is clear, well, that's a surrender. The right's got to learn how to build coalitions. Nobody gets the fairy tale ending that they want, guys, because this is real life. It is real life. It is not a fantasy land. The perfect candidate does not exist. Does not exist. The perfectly run campaign doesn't exist. I don't know if maybe, you know, these perfectly curated social media photo kiosks on Instagram and Facebook make everything think that everything else has got to be just as airbrushed and perfect looking as that, including our politics. And if you don't understand that it can't be, you are going to forever be disappointed. I mean, what is your alternative? What is the alternative? I mean, the people who just want to bitch and moan without offering a single practical solution are, quite bluntly, obstacles into the path of victory. Might be harsh to say, but it's true. The objective is winning, guys, because the alternative, what is the alternative? Allowing Democrats to continue driving this country into hell? That's the alternative. Do you want sky-high taxes? You want $7 tubs of butter? You want runaway inflation? Do you want endless wars? Lawlessness and disorder? I mean, look around. It's not an exaggeration. The choice is yours. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you to think before you do it, though. I mean, it would be a real shame. A real shame if we missed the last off-ramp on the road to Marxism because people were holding out for non-existent perfection. No one is ever going to be good enough, guys. No candidate is ever going to be good enough. No campaign is ever going to be good enough. But maybe, just maybe, they might be useful enough in saving the country from certain destruction. Adapt strategies, be practical, and push forward. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, American-born, American-made company. George Kellgren immigrated to the United States and conceived this awesome company in Florida. And I love Kel-Tec. I love Kel-Tec because they're like-minded. I love it because they're a great American success story. And I also love it because they make really awesome firearms that are very, very innovative. And that's what Kel-Tec does. They have 300 American staff, a lot of them military veterans, and they dedicate themselves to making these very distinctive firearms. And they've been creating pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories and gear for years now. And they continue this mission of game-changing innovation and performance. We've been talking about this for a good year now. The Sub 2K Gen 3, that's the one they came out with last year. It's light, foldable, effective. It's an awesome, awesome firearm. Gen 3, I have the Gen 2 version. The Gen 3, it's a carbine, folds in half, and you don't have to detach your optics to fold the Gen 3 in half, and it just quickly and as easily deploys as well. You have lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, and quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything Kel-Tec has to offer at KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Las Vegas, people are cooking eggs on the sidewalk. That's not unusual for Vegas, though, really. I mean, every now and then, don't they get like these heat sizzles? I don't know what you would call them. Record hot temperatures. They said that the Vegas Valley, the Vegas Strip, is nobody's out on the Vegas Strip because they said it was like 115 degrees one day. Well, it is the desert. So that's not unusual. Do you think it's unusual, Kane?
I think it's pretty hot. I think it's pretty
well, yeah,
hot.
But it's the desert.
I think that's a record breaking, though, 120. 120, anything north of 120 certainly would be breaking records.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, I think so. But it is the desert, you know. I mean, every now and then you get hot periods and you get cool summers.
True.
And Philly International Airport in the middle of July, they had snow reported by Channel 29 Fox. They said that, because you always hear the joke about Christmas in July. Okay, well, don't take it seriously. 94 degrees elsewhere. They said a record daily snowfall was reported at their airport. And it was small hail, which apparently counts as a trace of snow, the National Weather Service says. So it's not like snow. It's just, you know, it's small hail. And they said it's rare, but not unusual. To me, I feel like that's a stretch to say that that's snow. You guys did that for clicks. Stop it. Stop it. Biden is going to be proposing rent control. We'll discuss this coming up. He's proposing eliminating tax breaks for landlords who raise the rent more than 5%. But is Joe Marks here? Is he going to, like, I don't know, maybe reduce taxes on the property owners? Or how about this? And just a thought, maybe you could just reduce taxes overall for struggling families and maybe get a better monetary and economic policy overall, right? Apple's releasing a new operating system for iPhones. Again, it's the iOS, it's 18, iOS 18. It's a beta version of the software that's going to launch along the new iPhones this fall. And it's going to, they're testing features in that before they officially launch. It's not totally open to the public. It's still beta. But they said that people will be able to try it out later this summer ahead of the new phone releases and all of that stuff. Don't look for any rate cuts from the feds until inflation hits 2%. That's what Jerome Powell has said. He said that that central bank is looking for greater confidence that inflation is going to return to the 2% level. We have more to come. Stick with us. You know, at least strippers go out and work for their money. Good grief, you know. Speaking of strippers. Oh, Lord. Can we talk about I'm so tired. I've just been watching everybody argue about this. So Amber Rose spoke at the RNC last night, right? Amber Rose, who is like, she says she's an atheist. She's not, I don't think she hasn't been a porn star, but she's been a stripper. She was with Kanye, I think, for a while. I don't know. I don't really, you know, I'm not really big on her career. Let's just put it that way, right? I don't know if she's, I don't know what the hell she does anymore. I don't know. But she spoke at the RNC last night. And a lot of, I've seen a lot of people up in arms about all of this. Lots of people. And everyone's fighting over it. Some people are saying that it's a great representation to get people who are not traditional Republicans, make it feel as though there's someone who might kind of, you know, give voice to some of the stuff that they're thinking there. You know, I've seen all kinds of stuff. People talking about you got to have a big tent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. I've seen what everybody's been saying about it. I also understand the concern that people have about the platform of the RNC, which I didn't see anything about guns in there. And that was my big thing. I was like, where are the guns at, RNC? Where's that at? Like, I didn't see that in your damn little booklet platform. But you guys have to realize that I hate everyone. And when I say that I hate everyone, that includes all, like, I hate parties. I hate bureaucrats. I hate party bureaucrats, bureaucrat parties. I don't, you know, whatever. I can. And people are saying this is just, you know, an example of the GOP drifting left. And, you know, she had praised Satanism before, and we've got the audio of it, of being. Let me play this first, because I want to give, this is what some of the people criticizing are citing when they say that they have a problem with her speaking at the RNC, just so you can have like an idea. I want to be fair. And then I'm going to play her soundbite. This is audio soundbite four.
Yeah, but you're not.
No, I'm a fool. I'm an atheist for sure.
Not a Satanist.
I'm not a Satanist. No.
And there is a distinction.
Satanists are just, they're atheists as well, but they're just more political.
Okay.
They have like a political, it's actually a very rational, logical religion. They help a lot of people, a lot of women to get abortions.
I don't agree with any of those. I mean, I think Satanists want to put themselves apart from God, and they act like it's, you know, worship of nature, blah, blah, whatever. Everybody wants to be so edgy. This is what she said last night, audio soundbite three, when she took the stage at the RNC. Listen.
I am up here telling you this. I'm no politician, and I don't want to be. But I do care about the truth. And the truth is that the media has lied to us about Donald Trump. I know this because for a long time, I believed those lies. So I'm here to set the record straight.
So as you can imagine, there are people who are very upset. They're upset over the selection of Vance as Trump's VP. They're upset that I was actually more upset about the the Teamster thing. That guy there talking about some big government like populism is not a platform and it's not a principle. Populism is a way of delivering a message. You don't have conservatives and populists. That's not a thing. Populism is a way to deliver a message. And conservatives and Republicans are not the same thing. They're two totally, entirely different things. And then even with Republicans, you have MAGA Republicans and then just the regular Republicans. So there's all these different breakdowns of this. I'm going to tell you something. There's also the difference between coalitions and parties. Now, my question on this is, it's the RNC. So they're the party's event. And this is the base. This is your most condensed down, distilled down base, right? And I think that some people are confusing coalitions and parties. The right does have to learn how to coalition build if it wants to continue to exist. And it's a weird thing to say when you have a bench of talent multi-rows deep. But the Republican Party has been abysmal in figuring out how to maximize that for its fullest advantage. But never more so than now, conservatives and Republicans are two different things. And we have to learn how to marshal everybody together to be able to assemble a majority. And I think that's what some of this falls under. If I think the RNC erred in that if it wanted to give an example of coalition building, they needed to make that clear with certain speakers. Because the people that I have seen who have been the most vocal in criticism about allowing someone who's been pro-abortion and, the literally held slut walks and all that stuff, is they think that that is supposed to be representative of the Republican Party base. And I think it's the RNC's attempt, and I'm not saying I agree with it, I'm just giving you my analysis of it. I think it's the RNC's attempt to coalition build, but they're not clear in their intention on that. And the lack of clarity and intention has now resulted in this finger-pointing, slap-fighting mess that is really bubbling up on social media. I completely understand everybody's criticisms of it. I think it's kind of weird to have somebody... If the RNC was going to be like, yeah, no, we had her because we love slut walks now. That's kind of weird, right? Because like on the right, we've made fun of that, right? Or if the RNC is like, yeah, you know, we decided to have her because we're all pro-abortion now. I think a lot of people in the base would justifiably have legitimate grievances about that. If it's about coalition building, that's different. And that's the RNC's problem in not messaging that clearly enough for everyone. You have to be clear with this. I tend to apply Reagan's 80-20 rule. My 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. And I think never more than now, we've really got to apply that going forward. And we're going to talk more about this. Because I used to be one of these holdouts for, you know, political perfection and purism on everything. And I used to argue about this all the time with my late friend Andrew Breitbart. Before he gave his CPAC 2012 address on Mitt Romney, he extorted me. He's like, you listen to my address here. Because we had just gotten into a huge debate about it on a radio program. And he went out on stage and gave that speech. Perfection isn't strategy. It is a surrender that is staked on fantasy. And I'm going to talk more about that because principles do win, but you also have to be strategic in making and advancing towards those principles.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.